You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Global headquarters of All Marine Radio and Post Traumatic Winning. That's right. Welcome to our house. If you enter the premises, make sure you have your shit together. Make sure you have your shit together and don't be a pain in the ass. Otherwise, come on in. You're always welcome. That's right. So, I'm doing my thing yesterday, right? So just kind of being me, doing what I do, spreading the gospel of All Marine Radio. So I'm doing that, right? And So I decide that I'm going to watch that video a few more times, right? The video that I played yesterday. I played the audio from a video about, what was it? The two Indian doctors, right? So, I thought, you know what? I need to meditate on that, right? I think we got to find another word. I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll make one up. Other than meditation. How do we get... Because, you know, meditation has a whole lot of baggage, right? Every time I hear meditation, I think of the orangutan and the Lion King. Although he was funny, right? You don't know who you are. He says that to tell Simba. You're Mufasa's boy. Yeah, trust me, I know. His name is Rafiki. Anyway, Rafiki is actually pretty funny in the movie. And so I put it on and I listen to it maybe while I'm working 3 or 4 more times. Right. Let me tell you what I was doing yesterday. If you go to the All Marine Radio website, okay, and then if you click on Post Traumatic Winning page, and then if you go down to resources, you'll find a new resource there. That's right. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, it says other links from Mac, Mike, and Josh. Form, Warrior Wellness Octagon. This is an automated Microsoft Excel spreadsheet for download and use in counseling. Next form, Warrior Wellness Octagon, and then in parentheses, this is a Microsoft PowerPoint presentation for download and instructional use. I think those are plain enough. So I'm working on that. Now, the problem I have is I create the PowerPoint, right? And what I want to do is I want to take the PowerPoint and I want to create data fields and insert them at certain spots in the PowerPoint, have those fields linked to a database. In could be an Excel spreadsheet, or it could be a Microsoft Access database. Either one. It doesn't matter to me. And I have a little bit of experience in both. I have more experience in Excel than Access, although I have played in Access as well, the database program for Microsoft Office Suite. So I'm doing the way I tend to do things, which is smash my way through them, okay? Figuring this out, and then having this moment of clarity. Oh, that. Exactly. So I'm doing that. So I've got Dr. Trivedi, right, and Dr. Patel on, along with Julie, who's suffers from depression. And Julie says something at the end. Let me find it. Before they end. And it's actually a little bit profound. So, I want to say it's about the 54-minute mark. So, listen to this. It's about life, right? And the reason, and again, Josh Goldberg turns me on to this, he's, you know, the work these guys are doing, saying that what happens if 99% of the people that suffer from depression, what are the implications, the mental health implications, if 99% of the people that they've studied in Dr. Trivedi's study, and the way the study works is, if you've heard this yesterday, I apologize, you're going to hear it again, because It's pretty important, in my opinion. You go see they have all these general practitioners participating in this program using this software. And the software requires that certain questions be answered and then certain vitals be taken, blah, 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 which are indicators of, either one, of depression. When you have three positive tests for this, then you're screened for it every time you go in. So they have, in the study, 40,000 people. They have 15%, which is 6,000 people, of the study have three positive tests. So they're in the pool of depression candidates. What they found was, right, that only 1% of that pool, given the early identification of those symptoms, given the fact that the majority of this stuff was handled through education about physical fitness, diet, sleep, and wellness practices, that handled 99% of it, and was done at the general practitioner level. What does that mean? What are the implications of that? It's kind of interesting, in my opinion. So I'm watching this, okay? So the implications are, so what is the implication for PTSD? That 99% of people don't need to go see therapists, that they could be handled, their anxiety and their different, you know, mental manifestations of that problem could be handled by general practitioners, could be handled by counselors, could be handled by leaders. That's a pretty interesting little nugget, eh? And then, so they're bombing along in this presentation. And they get towards the end of it, and they're tying things up. And she says something. She's the moderator. Let me get her name. Julie Hirsch. And she's fairly interesting in this because she evidently has suffers from depression and bipolar disorder, which is not insignificant. So she talks even talks about shock therapy that she undergoes. So she made a comment about life kind of towards the end of this that I wanted to play for you.
Just a sickness.
That's great. And I think we're going to do one more question. And I would just add to that, Julia, as well. We brought some books that I have, and one of the things I developed was a top 10 list, which we just published a new edition of the book. When I do talks at college campuses, I'm exceedingly surprised at the just really basic things that people don't understand that impact their mental health, like sleep, exercise, nutrition, social support groups, that drinking. I see there's some.
How did she get my notes about post-traumatic winning? How did she do that?
Pretty from my support group over here who's going like this. So I think we have copies for everybody who wants a copy as they exit. Take a look at that list, and I do think we do need to spend more time with our teams talking to them about these behaviors affect your brain, and this isn't a disorder, this is just life. And guess what? These are the same things that impact you for heart disease. It's going to impact.
Did you hear that? This isn't a disorder, this is just life. Boop.
All disease, pretty much. And so just common sense, what your mother tells you kind of things, we need to be reinforcing. Go ahead.
How about that? So I just find it incredibly interesting. All right. So what happens if the premise that all that mental health is based on is wrong? You don't need to go see a therapist, okay? You do need to sit down. And again, the number one thing in all this is you got to talk to somebody about it. You got to go talk to somebody about it. So it's the more I learn, the more it's incredibly interesting to me, because if you take the Marine Corps' institutional approach to it, to mental health, I mean, what do? You go see, you put your hand up and you go see mental health professionals, and that's the way you do it. So, what do? I don't. You know, so if that's the approach, and these people are saying, hey, it's not necessary, right? And it's only going to get worse because of the dichotomy in our culture, right? Lack of experience in adversity, which means I don't have the coping skills. How do I overcome adversity? So when I hit adversity, instead of overcoming it, because I've been taught like that, what do? I have to go see a mental health professional. No, you don't. No, you don't. But that's how we do it these days. So, I mean, I think it's fascinating. It has fascinating implications for leadership. You know, you need to be more engaged with them because they need your, and here's the other thing, they need your infrastructure more. They don't need less infrastructure, more discretion, even though they'll say that's what they want. Jim Bathurst, who was on this program months ago, Sergeant B, as he's known. Bathurst was one of those guys, and Wesley Fox was another one, that got promoted, got voluntold that they were now going from the rank of company of gunnery sergeant to, or staff sergeant to second lieutenant in about, 1965, 1966, because the Marine Corps did not have enough. So Bathurst, I think he rises to the rank of colonel. Well, I think he's a lieutenant colonel. He gets a letter from the Marine Corps saying, you are the only field grade officer in the Marine Corps without a college education. Do you think that you could go ahead and get one for us? And so he did. But, I mean, what a compliment, huh? lieutenant colonel or colonel, it might have been, and with a high school education. You know what that means? Means the man could lead. Anyway, Bathurst has a little thing. He said whenever he'd get to a unit, he would he'd look around, and he said, and if they were ragged, the first thing he would do was institute a close order drill program. Now, in the Marine Corps, do they even do it? Do they even drill or march or do anything and have formations? But, and Bathurst said, look, I'll tell you this. What is close order drill? It's giving orders, it's taking orders, and it's the immediate reaction to orders. So, I would tell you that this younger America, right, and when I say younger America, I would tell you anybody that's less than the age of 35. Because I think the bigger problem the Marine Corps has isn't with young Marines, because they're canvassed. They'll do whatever you ask them to do. The bigger problem that the Marine Corps has is with mid-level management, in that they're uncomfortable holding standards and they're afraid. Part of it is the Marine Corps has made them afraid, right, with all this hazing craziness. Like, because I call them numbnuts or big ears, right, or glasses, he walks in and says, he hazed me. Okay? I mean, the Marine Corps has got to stop that shit. Okay? We've got to stop that shit. This is the real world, right? And if that's the way the Marine Corps is going to be, then God help the Marine Corps, God help the Army, the Navy, right? It's just a question of time until somebody smokes our ass. If that's what we're going to worry about, right? Because they need infrastructure. They need guidelines, okay? Because they are floundering as a group of young people because everybody's afraid to give those things to them. But we know that you can't be successful without infrastructure. And so one of the byproducts is of adults being afraid of kids is that they don't give them what they want. They don't impose on them the structure that they need to be successful. And I think the Marine Corps as an institution is completely down that road. And now you have people that are at the older end of that spectrum who we expect to then supervise them, and they can't enforce standards, you know, basic shit. Don't park there. Nobody pays attention to it. Why not? Because you don't have people that enforce it. You don't have people, at senior people in a battalion, which are what? Staff sergeants, gunnies, lieutenants, captains, and people north of them. Yeah. And then the manifestation is when they hit adversity, because they haven't been prepared, when they hit adversity, then you know, the wheels come off and I got to go see a therapist. You actually don't. Yeah. So, I mean, think about that. Think about the logical syllogism that is. Okay. That I don't do adversity. When I hit a bump, the wheels come off. You can't tell me what to do. You can't call me glasses or wing nut because my ears are big, right? And it's all, and again, so what is seeped in, and then by the Marine Corps signing up for that. You know, I can't call you glasses. Why not? You wear Coke bottles, for God's sake. Of course that's your nickname. What, are we stupid? Like, well, what have we become? You know, what is this, kindergarten or something? It's not. But what the real effect of that is, I'm not going to correct you because it's not worth my career. Because if I walk over and correct you and get pissed, 50-50 chance you walk into the company office and say, he's hazing me. I don't need that shit. Screw it. I don't care where you park. And so, good order and discipline, not so much, which means somebody's going to kick your ass next time you go to war. So anyway, I've been listening to this. And so what happens if that whole ball of wax isn't true? What happens if it's invalid? and that we have been sending people to therapists. We have been medicating them and spending millions of dollars, and it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Kind of interesting. And you know the mental health professionals. If you're in private practice, are you going to turn away that money? Hell no. What can you do? Once I'm maxed out, what's the next step? Oh, got to raise my rates. Sorry. You know, I'm totally booked up. I can't take any more patients. So I'm just so you know, my rate's going from $250 to $300 starting next month. Okay, thank you. No problem. Cha-ching, every hour, 40 hours. How much money is that if I raise my rates? $50 an hour as a therapist. 50 times 40 equals number of hours a week times the marginal increase. And that would be $2,000 a week. So that's $8,000 a month. Thank you very much. So there you have it. And I just do that every year or so. Give myself an $8,000 raise. And, I mean, it's close to $10,000 a month after you add in the extra days. All right. Just want to get that off my chest. I've been thinking about that. So, good morning to you on a Tuesday, busy Tuesday, here at the corporate headquarters. Got a phone call with the general officer that's interested in post-traumatic winning after the program, and then head down to Camp Pendleton to have a meeting down there with the commanding general of the 1st Division. Then link up with a buddy of mine, Jeff Kenny, at the south end of Pendleton at about 4. Drive to San Diego to have dinner with General Furness. He's passing through, so we'll go have dinner with him and then back up here later on this evening. So, yeah, boom, busy day. So, good morning to you. This makes it official on this Tuesday. Oh, and then Joe Houle's going to join us. He was not able to do that yesterday. And so he'll join us. We'll talk about his career. And then after that, Gunnar will join us. So, should be a fun day. United States Marine Corps band makes this official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to a doctor by the name of Madhukar Trivedi, who's doing research down in Texas. So, I'm not sure he would be expecting this, but nonetheless, it's dedicated to him and his pioneering work that is looking at our need for mental health, and in particular, therapy, and saying, yeah, most people do not need that. So, it's dedicated to him and the implications of him saying that, the way that empowers people to talk and to help heal themselves, and the empowering effect that has on the lives of people. So, this is for you, Doc.
Thank you. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. How many times does it tell you that? Anyway, time to check temperatures in Marineland. Raining in 37 in Quantico. It is cloudy and 57 at Camp Lejeune. It is partly sunny and 44 in Granbury, Texas. It is sunny and 32 in 29 Palms. It is cloudy and 35 at Camp Pendleton in the Al Anbar province. It is clear, dark, and 59, so pretty warm there tonight. 30 degrees warmer than it is in 29 Palms. In Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, and 66. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, cloudy, and 59. In the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 40 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Headed for 66 degrees and clouds today. 59 and rain tomorrow. 63 and rain on Thursday. I don't. Global warming, man. I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen weather like this. That's right. All those aerosols, man. That's right. You know who you are. All you people using those aerosol cans that blew a hole in the ozone. Yeah, that's, I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy with what you forced on all the rest of us. Anyway. But, you know, that's a long tradition. Do you think the cavemen worried about where they skinned a woolly mammoth? Oh, hey, don't want to do it there, near the water supply. Can't do that. So it might affect the ecosystem, you know, generations beyond us. And who knows? Yeah, I don't think they said that. I don't think anybody said that. All right. You don't want to hear that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. At the top of the hour, Joe Hool's going to join us. Sergeant Major type, United States Marine Corps. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute, heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be amazed.
Peyton Davis. She was in trouble over the weekend. That's right. We straightened that out, though. Anyway, okay, here's a couple of things that if you care to do, you can pitch in if you're so inclined. First of all, if you have if you know how to mechanize a form, you can find, go to the website, go to the resources page, check out under other links towards the bottom from Mac, Mike, and Josh. Look at the Warrior Wellness Octagon, the one in the PowerPoint. Is there any way to link data to that? So use, you know, just superimpose the data fields over the presentation and have them not, and it's a very simple computation. Okay, so it's not complex data processing. So if you know how to do that or how to tell me how to do it, take a look at it. Let me know. The other thing, I forgot. All right, email. Mac, could you explain the part about the guy's study? I missed that. I want to hear, but I feel like I'm missing out. I will listen to the entire interview later. Yeah, here's about a 4-minute clip of it, where he talks about the study that he does. And so Josh Goldberg refers to this as, you know, Dr. Patel. But to me, Dr. Trivedi is doing the more interesting stuff, although Patel probably more prominent. Here you go.
So one thing, like, at the end of this exercise today and maybe in the next 2-3 years, I want all of you to be actually as informed as Julie is about all this. She is absolutely right. So our screening is really universal screening. If you, what traditionally happens in primary...
Okay, now just so you talk about primary care, he's put together this network of primary care providers in Texas that have agreed to be part of, use the software that they've developed that deals with screening for depression in its infant stages, right? So if you can get it straightened out in its infant stages, guess what you don't have to deal with? That's right, the 4-alarm fire that happens later on in life. Okay, so that's what the study that he's referring to is about.
Primary care is people wait and the patient either complains or starts crying or is suicidal is when they screen. That is not called screening because then it's too late. So what this is, we are primary care practices are universally screening. Every patient coming into the clinic gets screened for depression, and that is how you identify whether they need to have further monitoring or not. And that is the 12 to 15% of patients. Once they get screened positive, then they get routine measurement at every treatment occasion to monitor their outcomes. And if the patients have significant need for psychiatry, they are referred, and that has been really less than 1% of the population. because they're like hypertension. Nobody actually, or headache. Imagine if for headache everybody wanted to go to see a neurosurgeon, you couldn't find any. That is what we do with depression. Instead, what we are doing, changing the paradigm so that most patients who can be treated in primary care get treated there, and then those who need to go to psychiatry or psychotherapy, then they go there. And we've also created teletherapy modules and other things to envelop all this. But as a result, we are actually leaving patients in the right place and getting the right treatment without having to run around to find a psychiatrist.
And Dr. Patel, do you find with...
How about that? That's a minute and 41 seconds worth of... That's what his study indicates. Did you hear that? 1% is what they're experiencing. All the rest is handled by general practitioners. So that's when I talked about that stuff. That's what I was talking about. All right. We're going to check some news headlines, then we'll check the early bird, and then Joe Hool is going to join us here in a few minutes. Turkey Globe and Anchor evidently recruits somebody said, let's take a picture from the sky. We'll make everybody stand in a spot. And the eagle, somebody thinks looks like a turkey. All right. Marines have been personally downloading this software that helps coordinate air support. How that air and big cyber flaws are putting lives at risk. Holy shit. Are you kidding me? A Navy Inspector General report has concluded that a series of popular software used in Android tablets that aid Marines and Navy personnel in coordinating precision air power and battlefield situational awareness has significant cyber vulnerabilities. Doesn't say they've been exploited. Okay, it says, as they've looked at it, there's holes in it. How that air and big cyber flaws are putting lives at risk. That's present tense. Okay, that's present tense. There's no indication that that has happened. Those tablets and software are in the hands of thousands of Marines and other service members, some who have been using it in real-world operations. The vulnerable software potentially puts Marines and sailors at substantial risk by hackers, blah, 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 blah. In a letter to President Donald Trump from the U.S. Office of Special Counsel following the investigation noted that the complex process by which military software is evaluated and had been totally circumvented in this case, the blatant disregard for procedure endangers lives. That's somebody who sounds like they have a personal stake in the software business. All right, so, hey, there's an app that isn't all locked up. California governor to draw down National Guard troops at the border with Mexico. The same governor, his name's Gavin Newsom, who wants to be the president of the United States. And he's single-handedly ruined the city of San Francisco, just so you know. Right? About 100 of the 360 troops will remain deployed under California's agreement with the federal government to focus specifically on combating transnational crimes such as drug and gun smuggling. So, 260 of California's finest leaving the border. Again, I'm not sure that everything going down there is on the up and up. I'm a little bit concerned that the federal. Let me tell you, with the exit of Jim Mattis, I'm a little bit concerned. Joe Dunford hadn't been too visible lately, in case you haven't noticed. Pentagon weighs troop cuts as Shanahan makes surprise visit to Afghanistan. That's right, Shanahan, Boeing guy. Getting to Afghanistan dressed in black, look like Johnny Cash. That's right, rolling around. South Korea, U.S. signed cost-sharing deal for American troops. Congratulations to everybody involved in that. In a meal ready to Trump, MRE package bears striking resemblance to the president. Interesting. Is that somebody's idea of a joke? Two Navy warships sailed through the disputed South China Sea waters on Monday. Film at 11. Are you kidding me? This is called a slow news day. Two U.S. Navy destroyers steam near islands in the increasingly contested South China Sea Monday as part of a continuing effort to counter Beijing's claim that it owns those waters. Come on, it's just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. The guided missile destroyers Spruance and Preble sailed within 12 nautical miles. That's called being in international waters of the Spratly Islands, which used to be owned by the Philippines until the Chinese just took them. Right? Now, I saw a story that said that the United Kingdom is sending their... The United Kingdom is sending their aircraft carrier to the South China Sea. Ooh, love to see that. Absolutely, positively love to see that. The Chinese, come on. Pentagon review calls for changes in how U.S. investigates and reports civilian war casualties. Why is this? What's the genesis of this story? The U.S. military should refine how it identifies and measures civilian casualties during combat operations to include greater collaboration with humanitarian groups, according to a recently released Pentagon report. The report, initiated by former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, carried out by Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Joe Dunford, focused on U.S. air and artillery strikes in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and Libya between 2015 and 2017. It also calls for declassifications of investigations into civilian casualties, or CIVCAS, when appropriate. And that's the big thing, when appropriate. Investment in tools to assist ground force commanders in developing greater situational awareness and the standardization. Let me just tell you about that. There isn't a tool that gives somebody the maturity and the restraint when your blood's up and people want to shoot. It's called character, okay? It's called experience, and it's called character, and it's called doing the right thing. So we're going to work with NGOs to establish what actually happened. What is the truth, okay? Let me see if this has the Brit carrier deployment. Another busy week in the South China Sea. Picture of an F-35 dropping some precision-guided munitions that doesn't really happen over the South China Sea, but who gives a shit, right? It'll drive clicks, and that's all we care about. Ships from the Chinese Navy and Coast Guard, along with fishing boats from its maritime militia, have been deployed to keep watch on Philippine development work on the island of Thithu. The appearance of ships followed the start of work by Manila to build a new beaching ramp on the island that Philippine Defense Secretary Delfin Lorenzana says will be completed early this year. Okay, this is, can you imagine the unmitigated gall of the Filipinos to develop a piece of land that they own and own for hundreds of years? The island is the home to about 100 civilians. With a small military garrison, it's the largest of the nine occupied by the Philippines in the Spratly Islands and serves as its administrative center for the area. Thithu, and it is also claimed by China, Taiwan, and Vietnam. The ramp will facilitate the delivery of construction equipment and material for upgrading the island's airstrip and other infrastructure. Boom, AMTI, whatever the hell that is, says satellite photos show a number of Chinese vessels fluctuating from as high as 95 in December to just 42 by late January. It also gave no word on any attempt by others to intervene in the ongoing work. Manila appears to be intent on upgrading its facilities in the Spratlys despite any detente or objections from Beijing. Whoa, how about that? Top Chinese general stresses maritime law enforcement force. A top Chinese general has emphasized the need for a strong and modernized maritime law enforcement force. What does that mean? We need a greater, we need a greater gangster element in the South China Sea, because the Filipinos just aren't getting the message. How dare they develop a piece of their own land? Patrick Shanahan arrives in Baghdad amid fallout over Trump's Iran comments. So Secretary of Defense making the rounds. Why the Marine Corps needs assistance to shoot down Russian and Chinese cruise missiles. I thought that was other people's bailiwick, that we left that to the Air Force and people like that. Isn't that called mission creep? Shouldn't we leave that to those guys and say, hey, yo, bro, you want to take care of those missiles that are exploding all around us? Or do we have to get into that business? Hey, we only have so much money to go around. Right? Now we're going to start doing the Air Force's job? Then who does the Marine Corps' job? If we're doing their job, who does our job? Hold on. Let me. Survey says nobody. This has been in the news a little bit. Top five stories in early board. Number one, battle to push ISIS out of the last Syrian enclave intensifies. So they've been trapped like rats. Right? They've got their gold. They've got their money. There's some crazy stories about the stuff they find as guys, as leakers try to get out of there. Yeah. As leakers start leaking, trying to get out with their loot.
When it comes to hotels, we're very demanding.
Oh, my God. A close call makes clear that ISIS won't give up its last stronghold easily. So what that means is somebody got shot at. Somebody got shot at, and there happened to be a reporter standing there. The unmistakable sound of automatic machine gun fire pierced the early morning sometime before 7 a.m. While it was not unusual to wake up to the cacophony of war, be it coalition bombing or airstrikes or gunfire, this was different. For days, I've been traveling with the fighters from the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces, or the SDF, who launched a last offensive to out ISIS from its only remaining enclave in Syria over the weekend. Since sundown on Saturday, coalition airstrikes had been pounding the last remnants of the jihadi group's so-called caliphate. Now we are holed up in a war-torn building just a kilometer from the town SDF fighters are working to liberate, Baghouz al-Faqani. Let's find out where Baghouz al-Faqani is. Baghouz al-Faqani. Stand by. I got to fire up Google Earth. Google Earth deploying. Nope, here it is. I was also working this morning on how to sync Google Calendars and Microsoft Outlook. You would think everybody could just play together, couldn't you? But oh no. This is in the nation of Syria. All right. We couldn't understand this location. Nice. Nice, CNN. We scrambled to the rooftop for a better vantage point. Be careful up there. There was little to see save for an explosion in the distance, which appeared to be a combination of airstrikes and shelling from the U.S., British, and French positions toward the town. As we watched, we heard rounds coming in our direction. Zing came one, then another, then another. On this cold winter morning, ISIS were taking advantage of the mist at daybreak to launch a counterattack. We ducked behind a wall as bullets continued to fly over our heads. The morning before, coalition airstrikes had suppressed any possible assaults, but now the gunfire appeared to be intensifying. Okay, just so everybody knows, gunfire is not an assault, okay? It's some loser shooting at you. An assault is when they get out of their trench, come rolling across the open desert, and then try to kill your ass. The soldiers around us became agitated by the onslaught. One of them got a walkie-talkie. Is this guy a little kid? Got a walkie-talkie for more information about the assault. Then a huge blast rocked somewhere nearby, and gray smoke started billowing from the side of our building. Retreating to the building stairwell, it occurred to us that we might be in danger of being overrun by ISIS. One of the tactics is to encircle during an attack rather than come from the front. We weighed our options and decided it was time to move back. We pulled back about 5 kilometers to another house in a safer area to reassess, eat breakfast, and drink tea. As we shared our meal with the soldiers, it was clear that their earlier confidence of a quick and easy battle was shaken. The battle-tested war correspondents in the front lines where nothing is really going on. Number two, breathing easier. After years of T6 hypoxia scares, the Air Force thinks it has this fixed. Yeah, you know, we've been reading about the story, about this hypoxia, you know. What is going on? For Instructor Pilot Major Trigger Jordan, the first clue that something had seriously gone wrong was when he suddenly tasted something metallic, which is a symptom in all of this. Blah, 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 blah. A month-long fleet-wide grounding of T-6s followed early in 2018, and an alarmed Air Force scrambled to solve the mystery why its most basic training aircraft was putting dozens of students and instructor pilots at risk of passing out in midair and possibly dying. But now the Air Force is rolling out a series of fixes that thinks will solve the problem. All the changes will be in place by fiscal year 2023. What the? In 4 years, at the latest. Though the Air Force is making progress, more progress than expected, and he's optimistic it could get done sooner. Good God. Let's see. The key to the Air Force's effort is a completely redesigned onboard oxygen generating system, or OBOGS, that takes engine ideas from the F-15E Strike Eagle, in which hypoxia is virtually unheard of, and from the A-10 Warhawk. The Air Force is also taking maintenance cues from the Navy, which service officials think are helping, though they're continuing to study all those changes. In all, Vaughn said, the Air Force has a slate of about 20 changes it's making to the T-6, and some of those changes could be adopted for other aircraft as well to reduce the likelihood of their pilots suffering hypoxia in other episodes. Number three, Pentagon wastes troop cuts as Shanahan makes surprise visit to Afghanistan. The U.S. is considering what cuts to U.S. force levels could support peace negotiations in Afghanistan while balancing risk there, Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan said today. Shanahan made a surprise visit, his first since becoming Acting Defense Secretary. Shanahan was named in December by the President after Secretary Mattis resigned. Shanahan's visit comes days after the top U.S. negotiations for peace talks with the Taliban. Special Representative for Afghanistan Reconciliation, Ambassador Salmeh Karzad, announced the two parties have agreed in principle to framework where the Taliban would agree to prevent other terror groups from operating under their control and the U.S. would begin to draw down its forces. You know what? This is the kind of dumbass stuff that America is like king or queen of, whichever gender you prefer, right? So the Taliban's going to guarantee us that ISIS, right, and Al-Qaeda don't come in. Right. We believe that. Right. And if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Kansas that I would love to sell you. I mean, it's like dumb as shit, right? So, anyway. It always gets back to assurances, Shanahan said. There's risk-taking, but there have to be assurances and putting in place some mechanisms to get people the confidence to take the risk. Give me a break. Number four, Pentagon review calls for changes in how U.S. investigates reports civilian war casualties. We've talked about that already. Number five, another government shutdown looms, but evidently not. There's some kind of border agreement. God only knows what it is. I've heard the initial report I heard was there's $1.3 billion. Not $5 billion. There's $1.3 billion in there to build walls. So that is a look at the news this morning. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the one and only Joe Houle is going to join us. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.